Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, loved ones, for it is always a privilege and pleasure to be in fellowship this Sabbath corresponding with February the 18th, 2017. For as I often say, and from the depths of my heart, I believe this, and I believe that every true believer in the Father and Son, God Yah, and Yeshua the Messiah, Father God, and Jesus Christ, that God is a good God, that He's worthy of all praise and all honor and all glory, that we are grateful for the love, mercy, and grace that He affords us. And it is no hardship, nor is it strange to be in all praise and awe and wonder to the Most High God when we consider what He has done for us. To the brothers and sisters of this faith that is spread abroad, I say grace be unto you from God our Father and the Son, Yeshua the Messiah. As we, upon another day of the richness of His mercy and His grace that has awakened us, that has allowed us to get out of bed or to have a soundness of mind and health, to have another opportunity to open our mouths and say thank you, Lord, say praise the Lord, say glory to God, to just be grateful for this another day to get it right and for this another day to strive unto perfection, for this another day to repent, for this another day to show love and kindness, for this another day to stand in the truth, for this another day to learn more of the Father, to draw closer to Him, for this another day to search in His scriptures, let His Holy Spirit work within us in order to enlighten us more, to encourage us more, to edify us, and to empower us. For this another day, just to be the children of the Most High, true and living, awesome, almighty God Yah, the true and living God. It is an honor, it is a privilege, it is of great pleasure. So in this topic today, I want to just encourage the saints to be of good courage. Saints, be of good courage. We are in biblical times, and the Bible is such a wonderful compilation of Yah's word with respect to His holy scriptures that was inspired into the men of Yah through the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, or the Old Testament, and then the New Testament. And they are one and the same. They complement one another. The Old Testament is the express word of Yah. The New Testament is the express image of that word of Yah, which is His only begotten, beloved Son, who is wonderful indeed, Yeshua the Messiah. All of the word point to the Son, because the Son is the word from the mouth of Yah. In the innermost part of His being is what Yeshua the Messiah exemplified in this world, and what was spoken to the prophets, what was given to the angels to speak to the prophets, what was given in the mouths of the prophets and the apostles through even the Holy Spirit was none other than the spirit of Yeshua the Messiah, who is none other than the spirit of the Father, Yah, who is in one the same, where we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is one the same. And all the glory points to the Most High, the Almighty Most High, true and living God, Yah. He is alive and He is well. He is true. He is not a God that should lie. He is not a God that is in stone and wood and works made of men's hands, where men have to carry it and bring it food that it never eats, that men have to bow down before it, and it never speaks to them. Their God can be seen and touched, can be destroyed, knocked down. People serve these type of gods. You know, the God that come down to their level and as defiled and decrepit as the worshipers of it. And they have to clean their God, and they have to service their God, and they have to do all this for their idolatry and man-made God. But we, the true saints of the Most High Yah, through the faith of Yeshua the Messiah, we don't have those concerns. We don't have those worries. We don't have to do that service to our God. Our God, the true and living, the Almighty Most High God, He does these things to us. He feeds us. He clothes us. He cleanses us up from sin. He protects us. He do all the wonders and all the promises that He has given to us. He is a God that serves His people out of love and mercy and grace. And all He asks of us, obey Him and to fear Him. A fear that is reverential, a fear of awe, and a fear that you don't want to sin against Him. That's the type of fear. But the reverence of Him is that He's so good that we don't want to do Him wrong. We don't want to betray Him. We don't want to live in the lies and the ways of this world and the filth and the wretchedness of this world, because we understand the nature of our God and what He means to us. We understand that He is holy, and we don't want to defile and make Him filthy and be a part of our filth that would only contaminate His holiness, that would only contaminate His holy name and the power and the glory and the respect that is of His name through Yeshua the Messiah. We don't want to do this, and we understand that judgment is imminent, and it is coming to every soul that has ever been on the planet. And we don't want to be a part of His wrath and His judgment, because we know the severity of it. And it is a matter of eternal life and eternal death. And I don't believe that any of us want to be thrust into a lake of fire where our soul will be burned in eternity, meaning there's no end. Many of us don't want to weather these storms in the world. And I'm talking about real storms. They have a storm here now called that's in Southern California, or I guess the whole state of California. They're calling this storm Lucifer. Much rain. Says something about it's supposed to drop 10 trillion gallons of rain. 10 trillion gallons of rain. I don't know how they figure to count this stuff up, but be that as it may, it's a lot of rain. Nobody want to be in these storms and blizzards in the winter season, rainstorms, torrential storms, hurricanes and tornadoes. No one wants to face up against natural disaster, run in the midst of a volcano at the epicenter of an earthquake, in the eye of a tornado or hurricane. No one in their right mind want to run up and contest these things. But yet these things are pale in comparison to the judgment and standing before the Most High God, Yah, if He is angry with you. You're better off. You have a more likelihood of survival and withstanding against the natural disasters, withstanding against wild beasts, going to war for this wicked and corrupt nation that is always bringing death and destruction upon other nations, particular nations and peoples of color, going in highly infested gang areas where gun violence runs rampant. You know, you're a black man running into the midst of the KKK. I mean, the list can go on. There's a lot of dangers on this earth that we fare better and contesting those and being in the presence of those than Yah, is basically what I'm saying. We don't want to, believe me. We don't want to be on the receiving end of his wrath when there's no more mercy and grace. So it behooves us to get it right when we have opportunity. It just behooves us to consider our ways, to think about some things, to engage our mind and get the will to turn and to think. Just look and think with respect to what is going on. I was earlier this week, and these folks honor Valentine's Day, and it's supposed to be a day of love, and I can't fathom, for particularly with Christians, how in the world that you're going to give a day to a man named Valentine when the scripture teaches that God is love. And I don't know the story of Valentine, but I guess some said that he was beheaded for his faith. But what does that have to do with giving him any honor? I would rather have a day of Paul if we knew that. But certainly a day of the Lord, who was crucified for our sins. Valentine dying did not do anything for humanity. But yet many Christians embrace this day, and they make it synonymous with love, and they don't understand it is the love of the flesh. It is the carnal love, the love of this world and the godly things. And so I was just saying earlier this week, I was saying it's astounding to me how Yah give us these things freely, and then men repackage it and sell it, and even sell it to the children of Yah, who Yah had given freely. Yah gave you love. He gave you mercy. He gave you grace. You don't have to repackage love and call it a day of Valentine and then make merchandise out of Yah's people because they're going to all these stores, and the stores up the prices to eat, to drink, to buy gifts, and all everything is just at a high price, taking advantage of the ignorance and the foolishness of the people in the name of love, like they do with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah, even the birth of him with respect to Christmas, that is not his birth, but they take that true story of Yah and they repackage it, and then they sell it to the people as Christmas. They take the death, burial, and resurrection of Yah, they repackage it and they sell it to the people as Easter, and just the world grabbed to it, and you got the saints in the world and partying and fellowship and unison together, and people won't think on these things and say that something is wrong with this picture. Even when Yah said, broad is the way and many therein that go to destruction, only a few walk in a narrow way, that straight way, that pressing, a difficult way. People don't think nowadays. And it makes it more difficult with technology. Technology and is such a way that it inhibits, or not inhibits, what word it? It nullifies the mind. People rely on this technology, and it puts their brain to rest. And we have to exercise our brain. People don't want to think anymore. They don't even want to think of a phone number. They rather go to technology and press the contacts and just hit the name and the number, and the device do the work for you. This is such an impediment to our reasoning. It mentally disables us. You know, mental disability is no longer of what we would consider retardation, and you know, people that are ill affected and their bodies go along with it. You can see it in their appearance and their speech and so on, with retardation, mental disability, you know, unable to comprehend simple things, if you will, need special care, a special form of education. But for those of us that have been born healthy and of a right mind, technology has made us mentally disabled, and we don't even know it. But more important, that is more egregious, more troubling, is people nowadays are spiritually disabled. And we shouldn't be with technology. We don't have to be stupid. We don't have to be ignorant. Now, you can search out things. You can know the history of what you're dealing with. You can research. Yah has opened the floodgates. Technology and all the inventors of it did it for their purpose, which was satanic purposes, which in turn make the people mentally and spiritually disabled. But Yah did it for his purpose. You can turn that same technology to be informed, to be in the know, to be of knowledge, and so that you can be spiritually enriched and mentally enriched and know more about Yah, because it's like a two-edged sword. You just have to determine which way you're going to use it. But people don't want to know the things of Yah, but they want to acknowledge his glory and his awesomeness. So I say to the saints, and when I say saints, I'm not speaking in terms of the song, a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got up. That's not a saint. A saint is one who has been sanctified by the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua's blood, coming to that knowledge, being washed in faith by the blood of Yeshua the Messiah upon belief of his death, burial, and resurrection. And then to be sanctified once in this belief, to having been born again, to continue therein in the word of Yah, being sanctified by the word of Yah. That is a saint. So it's not a song that a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got up. It is more than a song, because those that sing them type of songs remain in their sins and they fall down and get up, only to go back into the filth and the dirt and the mess that they're in. And it has permeated the churches. And a saint also is not what the Roman Catholic think to have authority, and who they elect with their perverted bishops and priests, sexual perverted, with the deviant behavior and manner that is in the higher echelon of their organization. And it is not only in the Catholic Church, it is in the Protestant churches as well, with his sexual perversion. I'll probably touch on that. But they don't have the authority to make a saint, any man or woman for that matter, when you know the scripture. So the world's view, and the particular the rigid religious worldview of being a saint, is all wrong. It is, according to, for us who believe in Yeshua the Messiah, it is a way of life. Just living according to the word of Yah, since he rendered us guilt-free from the sin that we were in through Adam. The things that we used to do in the ignorance and the foolishness of our mind because of culture and society. So be of good courage for those people, because we live in a time where people want to be encouraged but not corrected. So the homosexual want to be encouraged. He wants you to tell him that it's all right, that you're good people. They want positive speaking. They want to be. They want affirmation and feeling well, feeling good. The adulterer, the divorcee, the fornicator, the gangster. Everyone wants to be smooth words. They want to be with smooth words. They want to be encouraged. They want to be told positive things. It's nothing wrong with that. The word of Yah has the most of things. It has the most encouraging of things. It has the most uplifting of things. The word of Yah, it is all in his word. You read through Psalms and the experiences that the saints, the brothers such as David went through, and other the saints went through, tribulation and hardship and, just dealing, fighting off enemies and being preserved of Yah, the testimonies that are in the word of Yah is very encouraging. It's very positive. Yah's word is very positive. So I understand that we want to be encouraged. Nobody want to be in negative energy all the time. Nobody want to be in negative speaking, want negative words upon them all the time. I understand that. That's natural. That is natural. We all are better by being encouraged, being uplifted. But here's the thing, you can't do it in the midst of sin. It is the correction that cleans us. What if I get a man who is wounded out of an accident, and I get him out of that accident, and he's got blood all over him, severely wounded, and all I do is take him out of the accident, but I don't clean him up. I don't treat his condition to make him better, to make him healthier, to get back or to exceed where he was in health before, at least stabilize his health and get him back healthy. What good is it? What good is it to take a homeless man off the street, but don't clean him up? Tell him you encourage. Tell him you feel good. Homeless man, I got you off the street. You can feel good. Go about your way. And that set a different pathway for him. And the same with that one that needed medical attention. Begin to speak encouraging words for them to make them feel good, most positive. But their condition remains the same. That is a problem. And that's what people want. They want to be encouraged. They want to be in this matter, but they want to keep their condition. Why do you want to be disabled spiritually? Why do you want to be in the way that Yah opposes? Why do you want to live in abomination? Why do you want to live in moral and filthy indecency and sin? And at the same time, be encouraged. And that's the generation that we're in. But see, Yah doesn't have it that way, because in the same book that is the most uplifting, Yah condemns. He puts a judgment. He gives a forewarning about sin. See, I don't have no moral standard. In and of my flesh, I feel I'm capable of doing anything. And when I think upon what Yah has done for me and what he has delivered me from, then I begin to understand the sin nature and why I needed him and why I needed correction. It was not enough to get me out of the sin I was in, but then clean me up and give me a different frame of mind, and so that I don't have the desire to go back into that filth, go back into that sin. But these preachers that are making merchandise of the people, exploiting the conditions of the people, the politicians that are doing so, and I want to tell you about the politicians and the preachers. It is the same in this day as it was in the day of Yeshua the Messiah. It was the politicians and the preachers, or the religious organization, that killed Yeshua the Messiah. The Pharisees, the religious folks, went to the politicians, the Romans, and they came together to put that man to death. And it is the same today. The homosexual community, just as an example, very powerful force to be reckoned with, that make people afraid of them, and they're going around bullying. And they have people in high places in ministries, in these churches, in these religious organizations, and in the political realm to support them, to give them the power and authority to do what they're doing, bullying people, silencing people, and everything from speaking against the abomination that the scriptures speak against. And that's just one example. But they're coming together, and they don't want you to tell them what's wrong. They want a prophet with smooth words. So I tell the saints, you got to be encouraged. And you got to be of good courage. Good courage. Good courage in respect to godly courage. Good courage in the sense that your courage is of Yah. What is courage by definition? It is the ability to do something that you know is difficult or dangerous. That's courage. It is also the mental or moral strength to venture or to persevere and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. That's good courage. That is courage. Good courage in a sense that we stand and in defense of Yah. We remain steadfast for the things of Yah. That's good courage. So you got some people that are courage, they're courageous in the ways of this world. I seen a billboard the other day where it started listing this billboard, and they put these things in the black community. They definitely want to effeminize and demasculinize our black men. It's almost like a castration. Well, not almost. It's a castration. You know, it is what it is. But they had homosexuality. They had what they call that when you don't homophobia. Excuse me. They had homophobia. They had HIV. And they had another one that they listed. And then in once they listed homophobia, yeah, homophobia, racism, and HIV. They had this in the black communities. And then they had those, and then they had the in bold, big, bold letters on this billboard, "We can't stop." Meaning nothing gonna stop us from being in this act of abomination. Whether you racist, whether you speak out against homosexuality, or whether we even have HIV from doing what we do, you're not going to stop us from being who we are. We are here. We are a force to be reckoned with. What you consider abomination, what God has said abomination, being a man laying with another man as a woman, and vice versa, and also with a woman laying with another woman, we don't care about any of that. We can't be stopped. Now, that's courage, but that ain't good courage. Fighting these wars in Iraq is courageous soldiers. It ain't good courage. Police that's going, pulling their weapons, shooting unarmed civilians, killing them, beating them, police brutality. You know, senators and politicians going to war and talking tough. It's courage as defined in this world, but it is not good courage. Good courage is being willing to suffer and sacrifice for the Messiah's sake. Be willing to go through tribulation, enduring tribulation and temptation for truth's sake, for righteousness' sake, for the Messiah's sake, for God's sake. And when it becomes for the Messiah's sake and it becomes for God's sake, then it is for our sake, because we are beneficiaries of what Yah has done through Yeshua the Messiah. We're one and the same, standing for the truth, not using it to insult and offend people maliciously. But if you're telling it out of the loyalty in allegiance you have to Yeshua the Messiah, for the soul of that person, and you stand for that, so be it. So what if you are an island? You stand alone. So what? If they ridicule you and they mock you and they throw you in jail and prison, we got a number of saints who have gone through that already. And Yah has decreed and made it known that their promise that is yet to come is eternity with him. Eyes have not seen nor ears have heard. We got to stop bending to the ways of this world and to people's opinion that are not your judge. Everyone that stand that give an opinion against what you stand for Yeshua the Messiah's sake. I tell people, I say this, I don't care if you judge me. Judge me for when I'm wrong. I just don't want you lying on me, though. If I'm wrong about something, you can judge me on that. I'm not into this ideal of no judging. You know, everything has to be good. And you see these hypocrites, and they come out the woodworks during these elections and so on, you know, these elections that's going on. The Democrats and the Republicans, the hypocrisy of them and the supporters in these organizations. George Bush was empowered. The conservatives wouldn't say a word about the disastrous policies that he had set forth into the 21st century that the world is still reeling from. And it will be for generations to come. He opened the floodgate in the 21st century for what we are dealing with now. And then Republicans didn't say anything. The core leadership did not say anything against what this man did to call it for what it's worth and the wickedness that it was in. Even the preachers that are conservative, they thought that he was a good man and he did a good work. Then the hand switched, face of the government switched, which is why we understand we can't put a when Daniel seen the beast, he couldn't really identify the beast, and the beast was more diverse than any other beast. We understand because the power switches and the face switch. So Barack Obama gets into office. Now the Republicans, now for the most part, the core of the Democrats don't have nothing to say against him, and the Republicans are criticizing him now. And the one that's most what's most painful is these are so-called Christians, believers. So I'm seeing now a lot of Christians, family members, friends, strangers, that are Democrats that want Hillary to win. Now they're criticizing, mocking Donald Trump, and pretty much doing the very same thing that the conservatives and the Republicans did against Barack Obama. They're returning the favor, and nobody is stopping to consider, should they be doing this? Or stopping to consider that it's all wrong. Barack Obama, in defiance of Yah's word that a man should not lay with another man as with a woman, and that from the very beginning, Yah had decreed that a man and a woman be together in marriage, he comes along and he said that a man can marry another man and a woman likewise. And I don't hear none of the hypocritical Christians who have called themselves Democrats saying anything about that. They are completely oblivious to that. That don't matter to them. Though it matters to Yah, it's an abomination. Shedding innocent blood, it don't matter to the Republicans. Racism, hatred towards another man, in particular a brother, through faith and belief in the same religious order that you believe in, and it's oblivious to you. You're oblivious to the destruction that you cause in the nations, the racism that hurt people, that so egregious to people. You're oblivious to that, Caucasians in this respect. So, and for that matter, is the blacks and the Caucasian Christians that are cancerous in this society. And it's a lot of courage in it, but it's not good courage. And so we have this time where hate speech is redefined as preaching against sin. Preaching against sin is defined as hate speech in this day and time. Hate speech used to be what the KKK would do to rally up themselves to go and commit violence against black people, against people of color. That was hate speech, you know, because there was an action. Your words led to an action and behavior that was violent. That was hate speech. But now you can speak against homosexuality. You can speak against the obscenity and the lewdness, the vulgarity that is in the words and the actions of people, and now you are hating because you're speaking against it. But from the same tongue and from the same mouth, they want people to encourage them as to be in support and to go along with what their actions is. But they don't want you to say nothing. Be of good courage, saints. Don't fall for that. Consider your soul. Consider what Yah has done through Yeshua the Messiah and his death, burial, and resurrection, and seated him at the right hand and given us the Holy Spirit to walk as children of Yah and not children of the devil. Be in good courage in that, knowing that we don't have to go in the way of the world. We don't have to support the way of the world and the system that is, but we are citizens of the kingdom that is here amongst us now, that it would be manifested when Yeshua the Messiah returns and rules for the 1,000 years before he utterly, with a finality attached to it, destroy his enemies, Satan and the demons and all of the enemies that were inspired of Satan. We remain steadfast in this. Yah has been good for us. He has been good for us. He has been good to us. We can be in good courage from that. Many of us have been delivered from sicknesses, disease, from poverty, from just the cares of this world that is a burden, and we cry out to him, and he delivers us. Many ask for us to pray for them. And when we pray, Yah deliver, he brings about healing. He brings about restoration. He gives you things even in this world to make it in this world, whether a job, whether you need an automobile, and Yah's not materialistic by any stretch of the imagination, but he can bless materially. He did it to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I mean, the whole of everything that is in the earth that is of any value was made from the things that Yah created. The earth and the fullness thereof belongs to Yah. It is his. Everything is his, because when it breaks down, that it goes back to the natural state that was created by Yah anyhow. So we be encouraged that he is able to provide and give to us, but we be encouraged that it is not a strange thing to suffer for Yeshua the Messiah's sake. It is expected. He has told us that these things we would go through, that it's going to be perilous times, that it's difficult times. Don't think it's strange when you see the sinner man wealthy and blessed, when they seem to be in good health, when you see the wicked in this condition, when they have all the things of this world. This is heaven for them. We must understand this is the paradise for the wicked. This is as good as it gets to them. The world today is as good as it gets for the wicked, for then they die, and they die an eternal death, and they can't take anything with them that they have acquired at the expense of their soul here on earth. Be of good courage, saints, because when we live for Yeshua the Messiah, when we suffer for him, when we sacrifice for him, when we labor for him, that it is only the beginning. The best is yet to come for us. There's a world to come on a new heaven and a new earth, and we be in eternity in the blessings of the Lord that eyes cannot see and ears cannot hear, no more than what the Spirit of the Lord has revealed to give us a snapshot of what it is. When you talk about no more sickness, no more sadness, no more crying, no more death, when you see that the lion and the lamb can be together, that a child can stick his hands in the snake's pit and not be worried about being bitten and poisoned, meaning that there be no more violence, just that alone is worth the sacrifice and suffering for Yeshua's sake to get into that kingdom. Be of good cheer, saints. So what, you're going through hardship, be it in a divorce, being in abstaining and keeping your chastity, being in constraining your tongue, and so that you don't speak things that are not wholesome, in a way that opposite perverted, meaning you cussing people out, using profanity and vulgar and obscenities. You don't do those things. So what, you have to keep yourself? So what, you don't have a spouse? It's better than going out sleeping with different men or different women. Keep yourself. Take the opportunity to be reconciled. Take the opportunity to repent. Take the opportunity to regret. That's a sign of some consciousness, when you can regret what you've done wrong. And then once you do that and you feel that remorse, then that conditions you to repent to the Most High. See, the things that I used to do that I don't do anymore, that the Lord has delivered me from, they're detestable to me. That's my own abomination, detestable. I can't see myself being with a lot of women. I can't see myself hurting and playing with the emotions and feelings of women, committing adultery, you know, and lying and these different things now that I've come out of that by the grace of Yah. You can't get me to think that that type of stuff is good and healthy for me and that I would desire that. I don't desire to use profanity now. I don't desire to hear the wretchedness and the lewd and vulgarness in the music now. That stuff is detestable to me. The perverted entertainment. I can't even watch television. I can't even listen to the radio, because coming into the newness of life through Yeshua the Messiah, those old things that I used to do that the culture supported and made a way for me to do them, I detest them now. So I detest the culture, but I get into the culture of Yeshua the Messiah, the culture of the kingdom of heaven. I let my members and my body be of citizenship to the kingdom of heaven. I do that. It lets me be at peace in this world, in spite of the chaos, in spite of the challenges, in spite of all that's coming against me. I can still be at peace because I am not living in sin. Sin is not a peaceful state of mind. When you're at peace in sin, you are more wretched than ever imaginable. You are a reprobated mind when you can do evil and sleep on it. And get in people's face with a straight face and lie to people with a straight face, you are reprobate. There is really no coming back from that. I would have to believe that there would take it would take an extra dose of mercy and grace to draw such a one out of that. And this is the state you see in a lot of politicians. You see in a lot of religious leaders that are, you know, a lot of racists. You know, this begin to be self-righteous. When you get into that state, you're self-righteous. And so be it. So, you know, the hypocrisy, I tell the saints to be of good courage, you know. And the scriptures, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, it says, "Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he it is that does go with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you." You know, Moses had received this, and he had to give it to the people as well, to be of good courage. Don't fear. Don't fear with the enemy who oppose the righteousness of Yah. Don't fear the crowd that oppose the righteousness of Yah. Don't fear those who come against Yah's word. Don't fear them. I don't care, family members, friends, or nothing. Don't fear those who come against the standard and the morality of Yah. You don't fear them. Your fear ought to be of the Lord. But then you come that your courage is in the Lord. See, when I'm of good courage, as Moses was giving the exhortation to the people in this passage of scripture, but when I'm in good courage, which gives me the ability to do something that is difficult or dangerous, we need to understand in this respect, saints, It is not our courage. It is not our strength. We're just a vessel through which the Spirit of the Lord is breathing through, is working through. Because in and of myself, I have no strength. I am a frail man. I am subject to torment, to threatenings and death and fears of men and everything else, to where I wouldn't say anything and I would go along with the crowd. But it is the Spirit of the Lord that allows us to be in the good courage. It is the strength in the Lord, the confidence in Him, to know the awesomeness of God that allows us to be in good courage. So when people see us, they may think we're boasting, they may think we're bragging, they may think to ridicule, to mock us, but what they don't understand that it is not us in and of ourselves. It is the Spirit of the Lord. This is why I can preach this truth. I don't preach against sin and homosexuals. I don't say things against the government and against these false preachers that are most perverted and misleading the people. I don't say that in my own strength. I'm not some Superman that I can just stand before these men and say this and not expect that I can be slain. I don't say that by any stretch of the imagination. I don't speak out against police brutality as though I can beat the police and I can once again beat all of these people I'm speaking about. It is the Spirit of the Lord. If there was no Spirit of the Lord, I wouldn't say a word. If there is no Spirit of the Lord, if I didn't have confidence in Yah, from what was written, and then from what I've seen through my own experience, if I didn't have confidence in Yah, I would fold up and I would go along with the world. But I know that I know that I know that He is the Almighty Most High God. He is omnipotent. That means that He has all power. Even the powers that be that come against me, they have to get His approval, and He will not let them destroy me. But all He would do is use them to strengthen my faith to show Himself in even more. And He do the same for you, saints. We know the stories. We have the experiences. This is why we can be of good comfort, be cheerful, that we can be encouraged, that we can be of good courage in the midst of poverty, in the midst of needs and necessities, because at the end of the day, when all is taken, when we are stripped of everything, when what is to come upon this world comes, at the end of the day, what is most valuable to us will be preserved, and that's our soul. See, we have to take comfort and be of courage and encouragement for our soul. If nothing else happened to our advantage on this life, we don't get another dime. If we had to be homeless, if we had to stand in the welfare line with the EBT cards and everybody else, but when we've been living right and when we have stood for Yeshua the Messiah's sake, and we have not exchanged our soul for the things of this world, we have not profited in this world at the expense of our soul, that's where the good courage come in best, when your soul is preserved, when you know that your soul is saved according to this word of Yah. That's when you really can be of good courage. Because it ain't promised that we are going to be richly blessed materially. Many of us are going to have to go through these tribulations, go through them some things, through hunger, through persecutions, whatever else that happens in life. A lot of negative things that come against us in life from the attack of Satan that has attacked the children of Yah. But we need to just make sure that we are strong enough and of good courage that no matter what, you're not going to take my soul. You can put the option of divorce, but I'm going to refuse to take it. You can put the fleshly desire for a man to be with another man, but I'm going to rebuke that spirit as a man, and I'm going to find me and be with a wife and love her and be with her. You can put the temptation to rob and steal from others, but I refuse. I'd rather go hungry than to take from someone else to make them hungry. This is of good courage. This is good courage, saints. This is of good courage. You may have a charismatic leader who goes against the word of Yah, and I can follow the crowd and be in favor, but I'm going to be in good courage, and I'm going to stand for Yah. I'm going to show my loyalty to Yah. I'm going to show my allegiance to the Messiah. So I don't care how charismatic, I don't care what words, I don't care if you're the first black president or the last black president. I don't care if you're the Caucasian, Asian, Hispanic. I don't care what you are as a man. If you're coming against Yah, you're coming against me, and I will not be in support of that. I don't care of the gender, of the race, nothing. I love what Yah loves, and I hate what Yah hates. That's good courage, saints. Love what Yah loves and hate what he hates. That's good courage, saints. And then the Psalms in 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's what David said. Wait on the Lord. A lot of us too impatient and too anxious. Be anxious for nothing. See, that good courage, it strengthens the heart. Yah is the one who strengthens. And courage, it is out of the strength of Yah that is breathed through us, that is lived through us. That's where the courage stems from, having confidence and trust in Yah, not in ourselves, not in men, whether men in position, high places, for we know that principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wickedness in high places exist, and those are our enemies and what we oppose. We know them. So you cannot defeat them by befriending them. We don't have the mentality, if you can't beat them, join them. Not the saints, not those that have been sanctified by the blood death, by the blood of Yeshua the Messiah, meaning his death, burial, and resurrection, and then sanctified and continue to walk. Once we're born again, then we grow and we nurture, we develop and walk according to his word, and we're sanctified by his word. We don't have the mindset that if you beat them, join them. We don't join this world. But we're in this world. We're just not of it. The earth and the fullness thereof belongs to Yah. What that mean for his children? Even though Satan is the ruler of it now, and you look at the state and condition, has nothing to do with Yah. It is of Satan and the rulers in his camp that are running and ruling and ruining this world. But we got to wait on the Lord. We have to trust. Wait, we have to believe that he has a day of reckoning, that he has a deliverance for our matters, that he would turn it around, that he would shake it, that he would build it, that he would destroy it. Whatever it is that is in our favor, Yah would do, we have to wait as we're waiting on the return of the Messiah. And in this waiting, we don't get depressed. You know, we have bouts of distress and we have bouts of low self-esteem and different things. But then that's the beauty of Yah's word, giving us positive reaffirmation about our value and how precious we are. And then we begin to be strengthened in our heart, because it is the heart that grows faint. It is the heart where deception rest, and that is weaker, meaning get into the emotions. So when he strengthens our heart, he strengthens our emotions, and we are no longer in the emotional state, but now we understand from a spiritual state, because we need the strength in order to put the body in subjection. We need the spirit man, not the mental, not the emotional man, but we need the spiritual man in this day and time to encourage us. And then it encourages our mind and our mental state and our heart and different things. That spiritual man, the word of Yah in us, the Holy Spirit working in us. And then we're able to stand. And then the Psalms, it says in 31:24, Psalm 31:24, he says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. And we know that hope is synonymous with faith. So all this comes about, this is the benefits of faith. Just trusting Yah, just hoping in Yah, And in this hope and trust, through this faith, is where we gain our strength, where we are encouraged, where we are given courage. For Hebrews 11 says, makes it very clear for us, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, and or faith is the evidence of things not seen. Either or is faith. Is what you're going to need when you have hope and expectations is what you see that has not manifested yet. You see it through the lens of faith. When you have a goal in set and it looks against all odds, when you have a goal set and it looks like you're up against all odds and there's no way it's going to happen, it's the faith that allows you to see yourself having obtained that goal. It is the faith, the evidence of things in your mind. You visualize what it's going to be like on the other side of you pressing through to get to that goal. Faith is that substance. When you have a hope or something, you're hoping in faith. You're hoping because you believe, and your belief is in Yah. So we got to understand, saints, this is very real, because dark days are ahead. Great tribulation is coming upon the West. I said it before, the West have been responsible for executing great tribulation. Other regions of the world that so happen to be people of color in the Middle East, in Africa, in South America, Central America, and the ghettos, just in areas where people of color congregate, the West have brought about great tribulation, the Caucasian man. And I have to always say, when I speak of Caucasian, I speak as a people, not persons and individuals. I speak against the system of them as a people, but I'm not speaking against certain of individuals and persons that I love dearly, that love me dearly, that are family, that are friends. Speak against them, but if they are of Caucasian origin, then it is what is to come of your type of people. It is what it is, and it's just not my words saying this. It's history records it. It's right before our eyes. It's just unfortunate when the people don't want you to see what is so clearly seen. They don't want you to know what is so knowledgeable. To be deceptive, but that is neither here nor there. Deceiving and escaping from the truth, so to speak, or blinding your eye and being oblivious to the truth and to what you hear is not going to be a reason, or is not going to allow you to escape Yah's judgment. That's just as simple as that. But saints, these are the things we need to be encouraged, be of good courage. It is standing for Yeshua the Messiah, taking him at his word, representing him, different than what has been to this far, where people do all kind of sins and immoralities and abominations, and they still name the name of the Lord and think that they are in the body of the Messiah when they have no idea that they are of the Antichrist. So, beloved, until next time, be of good courage. And until next time, may the grace of our God continue to richly bless us in his love, mercy, and grace unto salvation above all else. So take care, loved ones.